My God, why have you forsaken me? And yet you are holy. Here the tension was in Psalm 22, as well as at the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And yet you are holy. We hear the words of Jesus on the cross, and sometimes we think it means that maybe he somehow lost faith or he really was abandoned by God. Sort of the darkest words of the gospel. But when Jesus was on the cross, when he said those words, those were not random words. They weren't just words that came to his mind. They were from the psalm that we read today, Psalm 22. A psalm that Jesus knew by heart. And when he quoted from it, he wasn't just pulling a few words from it. He was on the cross. He was being crucified. He was in incredible pain. And yet he begins words from the psalm. And his hearers, and certainly Jesus himself, would have been thinking of the psalm as a whole. That's why I'm so glad that today we read the entire psalm. The pull back and forth between those words. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yet you are holy. Remember the psalm as a whole, and you're welcome to go back and read through it again, either now or when you come home. The pull back and forth between this expression of pain, of a feeling of abandonment, of fear, of a sense of being abandoned, forsaken, of wishing that you would be saved but feeling like you're not being saved. And yet woven through all the way through the psalm is this counterpoint. Yet I know, Lord, I know that you are holy. I know, God, that you have been faithful and will be faithful. I know you were my God from the very time I was in the womb, that you have never forsaken me any day of my life. It's a psalm of both pain and hope. A psalm of feeling abandoned and a psalm of faith that God does not abandon. It's a beautiful expression of how we often feel, while also a theology of what's true about God. So there Jesus is on the cross. The Isaiah passage today did a wonderful presentation too of the fact that Jesus was there for us, that he died on the cross for us, that he was, as it says, pierced for our transgressions, that he was crucified, killed because of our sin, to pay the debt of our sin, to restore us in relationship with God. All of us have experienced a broken relationship of one kind or another. We've probably also experienced the sort of false reconciliation. You know, where someone has hurt you deeply, has even done something awful to you, or you have done something awful to them. And instead of talking it through and instead of working it through, you just all decide to pretend it never happened. And you don't get real reconciliation there. What you get is a sort of politeness. It's easier for us to all smile and pretend everything's fine, even though we know it's really not. Because of our sin, as the human race, and also my individual sin, your individual sin, all of us together and individually, have a broken relationship with God. We did things to God, and we did things to people that God loves, that broke that relationship. And God could have said, well, we're just going to pretend it never happened. But how terrible would it be to not have real reconciliation with God? For God to pretend that he was okay with us and we were okay with him. That wasn't good enough for God. God wanted to remove the debts, wanted to remove everything that got between us and him. And while it would take a much, much longer sermon and series of sermons to go through all of the details of this, there were so many things happening on the cross. Our debts were canceled. Our sins were actually removed from us. Jesus died in our place. In some mysterious way, it's as if we were there on the cross with him. And Paul will later say in Galatians and in Colossians and in other passages that we were actually crucified with Christ. Not just as a metaphor, but that in some way we really did die with him. So that all of us, because it was God we sinned against, deserved the death penalty and got the death penalty with Jesus on the cross. And we will go on next Sunday to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the resurrection, because it's also true that we were raised with Christ from the dead. That we, if we accept a relationship with him, that we are with him receiving the new life, the resurrection life. Our debts are canceled. But in the midst of that, there is Jesus on the cross, suffering physical pain, incredible physical pain. Crucifixion was designed to be the most painful, brutal way of killing people that the Romans could come up with. And the Romans were really smart. Right? They came up with all kinds of incredible inventions, many of which helped the world. They built the best roads up until just recently, roads that were better than any roads for thousands of years. They built sewers. They introduced plumbing. There was indoor plumbing in the Roman Empire. We didn't get anything like that until just a couple centuries ago. Some parts of the country was even more recent than that. They took that same inventiveness to come up with the most brutal way they could to execute someone. But it wasn't just physically painful, it was also shameful. There's Jesus Christ, and not only is he being hurt, he's being stripped naked and then held up for everyone to gawk at. And then you add in the mockery of it all. The soldiers who mock him. The religious leaders who mock him. The people who mock him. How horrible is an execution, a painful execution, but then on top of it, to have a sort of cheering section, laughing and joking as someone is executed. Mocking him as he's executed. Again, none of us have been through that. But maybe you had a time where it wasn't just that you were going through a painful circumstance, that you knew people who were glad about it. Who thought, well, I guess she won't be so uppity now. I guess he won't be so proud now. Who rejoiced at suffering. Every form of brutality that he underwent for us. And part of the reason I bring this up is not just so that we'll understand how much he experienced. Not just that we'll understand how much he experienced for us, but that we'll also understand how much of our experience he can understand. None of us are crucified, but there are people who today are going through real physical pain. Maybe it's in your joints or your back or your stomach. But you've been through physical pain. Or maybe you're going through mockery emotional pain. You have people who are talking behind your back, tearing you down, or people who, just the way you look, they look at you, you know that they wish you ill. Do you understand we have a Savior who's been through that? And much more. The most important thing about the crucifixion is the debt that he paid for our sins so that we could be reconciled with God. But I want you also to understand that you have a Savior who suffered in every way a human being can suffer. Sure, he didn't experience each and every individual exactly the same thing as every other human being. Right? He was never a parent, so he never lost a child, Jesus. For example, he was never married, so he never went through a divorce or being cheated on. There are individual things he didn't go through, and yet he had every experience of pain, every experience of mockery. He went through every sort of pain that a human being could go through. So that as we go through pain, we have, as Hebrews says, a high priest or a representative in Jesus who knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. He may not have had the same events that you've gone through, but he knows what it's like to hurt in every way that humans can hurt. And so when he pulls together these two sides of the psalm, when he refers to the psalm in order to refer to these two sides, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet you are holy. It's a way of saying, I feel God as if I'm alone. I feel as if there's no hope. I feel as if the pain is so much that I can't hold on a second longer. I feel as if you don't rescue me, I am going to break in the next 5 minutes, much less the next 5 days. I feel overwhelmed in pain. And, my God, you are holy, you are enthroned, you have been with me my entire life. And while my body, my emotions, my brain, my every bit of me feels like giving up, and by saying, God, you have betrayed me, you've walked away, every bit of me feels like saying that. At the same time, I cling to you, Father, trusting you. I don't feel you, but I trust you. I don't feel you, but I know from a lifetime of following you that you are trustworthy, even though my emotions and experience right now in this moment are telling me everything other than that. In the very midst of dying on the cross, not only for our sins, but really carrying our sins, Jesus remained faithful. Again, it's not just that he went through pain on our behalf. It's that in some way, he actually carried all of our sins on the cross. And I don't really know at all what that would be like. But for centuries, for thousands of years really, theologians have speculated about that and wondered if even the experience of our sin might have been even more torture than the cross itself. For Jesus, who knew no sin, meaning he was human in every way and yet never sinned. He was human in every way without compromising also being God in every way. And yet he experienced our sins. He carried them with him. I don't know if he felt each and every one of the sins that any of us ever committed while he was on the cross, or if it was an overall feeling of experiencing God's reaction to sin. But somehow he went through that too. Experienced something we could never experience. And yet he remained faithful. He remained in relationship with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Remained perfectly God, even as he went through the worst thing that anyone could ever go through. And so this week, as we go through Holy Week, I invite you to follow God, to remain open to him. And as you remain open to him, let that be a two-way openness, meaning you remain open to his death and his experience on the cross and his resurrection. Think about what he went through. Remember it. Study it by reading the scriptures. Meditate on it by thinking about it as you go through the week. Come to our other services. I say that not because I'm looking for certain attendance. I say that because each of the services gives us an opportunity to meditate on a different part of the story. Thursday night for Maundy Thursday, we will study and meditate upon the Last Supper through the arrest of Jesus. Good Friday, the death of Jesus. And Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. Go on that journey with us. If you can't be with us for one of those services, go somewhere else. If you can't go anywhere, still open up the Bible, read through the passage, meditate on it. Think about it. Be open to his experience, but also be open with your experience to him. If you feel hopeless, tell him you feel hopeless. If you're in pain, tell him you're in pain. Don't shove it down and try to ignore it. Don't push it aside. Don't try to be holy, meaning a false view of what's holy, right? Putting a smile on your face and saying everything's fine when it's not. Don't do that to people and don't do that to God. Tell him what you're experiencing, because he knows and he can sympathize. Because in the midst of his pain, he was thinking about our pain. Bring yourself fully to him. Fully with your eyes and your ears as you pay attention, and fully with your mouth and your heart and your mind as you tell him where you're at as well. Because he is the God who can pull together the feeling of being forsaken and the trust of God's holiness and hold both together at the cross. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.